the What True Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this should. This podcast is sponsored by the Epigraph Literary Festival. The Epigraph Literary Festival is a three-day virtual event that introduces readers to authors with new and upcoming books and hosts genre and lifestyle theme sessions. They host a spring-summer festival in April and a fall-winter festival in September. If you missed the festival, you know they have you covered because now you can sign up to watch the replays. There are two options for the replays. You can get an April 23rd replays for $25 and watch all the sessions on demand, or you can get a premium festival bundle for $40, which includes April 23 replays plus replays from April and September 22 festivals. So that's three festivals for the price of $40. With each replay, you can binge watch authors sharing about their books in genre themed sessions, access to lifestyle sessions such as like a cheese plate and brunch bore, demonstrations, entertaining, journaling, self-care sessions, and more. The What True Next podcast listeners get an exclusive 10% discount for their purchase if you use the code What True Next, and you can sign up for the festival, which is happening the week of April 27th to the 29th, or you can buy the replays by going to epigraphlitfest.com. And now let's get to the show. Hi, Anli. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Thank you.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. I always hate this question. I'm such a boring person. I write male-male romance under Only James. I also used to write YA under Martina McAtee. I have a daughter, a grandson, and a menagerie of pets at home. And I spend 99.9% of my life writing.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Honestly, like if you're writing and it just like escapes and it's like a good for just give yourself, like help your brain, you know, do its magic. It's not a bad thing to do. So it's not a boring life that you're leading, you know. So let's chat about some of your writing. So you have a book coming out called Paladin. Tell us all about it.
So Paladin is a spinoff of my Necessary Evil series. It's one of two spinoffs that's coming from that series. The other one's called The Watch, and I'll be releasing them kind of staggered. So one from Jericho's Boys, one from The Watch. But Paladin is basically about a mechanic slash part-time vigilante that goes to take out this really bad person and finds out that they've been essentially keeping this boy as a domestic slave for most of his life. So he sort of rescues him and then like starts kind of showing him all the things that he's missed in his life, and inevitably they fall for each other. So it's a lot of hurt comfort and a very unlike most of the, well, the killing is usually in my stories, but this one's a little bit more schmoopy than a lot of the ones I usually write.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm excited for this. Honestly, you write my favorite trope, which is like a micro trope. It's like serial killer romance. You know, our serial killers, a sociopath who fall in love. And so, which I gotta say is like, I want more of this. So, you know, just exploring that. What was kind of like your, like, were you like watching like Dateline and, you know, Investigation Discovery and stuff like that, or true crime
podcasts? I mainline that. I still to this day mainline Dateline. It's my favorite thing to do. Sometimes I will literally go back to season one and just watch all the Datelines back to back because I'm insane. But I blame my mom because my mom was like a true crime junkie. Like, yeah. So in my earliest memories is my mom watching Top and America's Most Wanted and watching documentaries about like murders and Dateline and 2020 and like just, and then she like even fictional shows, like, you know, she was always into CSI, she was always into like Law and Order SVU, like, so I literally was raised on just murder. And then by the time I was 11, I was literally checking out books by like John Douglas on serial killers, like Mindhunter type. I wanted to know like about the psychology of serial killers. I wanted to know about their brain chemistry. I literally wanted to be a psychobiologist until I was like, I don't know, 16. Like I just was obsessed with learning everything I could about why people do the things they do. Like just criminal psychology was just my absolute crack growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I love it. And like, I love your take on like, they can fall in love too. You know, because it's kind of like you might as well, you know.
As a former psych nurse, I say, please don't actually go looking for somebody you have to fall in love with. But yeah. There is a lot of people out there who are psychopaths, diagnosed psychopaths, who get married and have children and actually live perfectly normal lives. You will normally find them as CEOs of companies and doctors, you know, like, and they're good at their jobs because they don't have the same empathy, you know, towards people that, you know, your neurotypical people do. So, you know, like the one time you want a doctor to not have empathy is when he's like really trying to clinically diagnose you or do surgery that's like dangerous, you know, like pretty much the only careers I can think of where being a sociopath or a psychopath might actually help you.
This is good to know. This is good to know. So we got to talk about some of your backlist titles, because as you mentioned, Jericho Boys is one of the spinoff series of one of other series. So talk to us about like where the readers can start after reading Paladin.
Okay, so if you really want to like follow and see all the Easter eggs, you want to start with Elite series. And like there's a lot of crossover starting at book 6 of Necessary Evils. There's kind of a lot of crossover with the Elite series, which is my very first series about bodyguards who fall in love with the people that they're, you know, guarding. And then the second book in that series was a sociopath who was a bodyguard who falls for his charge. And that character's twin brother ends up being the love interest in book 6 of Necessary Evils. So you really want to start at the Elite series and then follow it all the way through. So it would be Elite, then the Time Served series, and then Necessary Evils. And then you can, you know, kind of, you'll be caught up and then you can go either way with Jericho's Boys or The Watch or both. But there's a list on my website. There's a list in the beginning of all my books of what series order to read in, just in case you get confused. They're all listed out because I know it can be like a little confusing trying to figure out where to start with all these things. But if you never heard of me and you just kind of want to get a taste for my writing, you could pick up Disciplinary Action, which is my only solo title, which is a very, very, very scorchingly high heat daddy kink book. So if you really want to just kind of go in an opposite direction and just kind of see my writing style, that would be a good one to pick up first. And they're all in KU.
All right, awesome. And so let's talk about some of what kind of books you tend to read. So you tell me you're definitely into the true crime and like the science books and the sociology and the psychology of a serial killer, but is there any other escape that you do like that helps you kind of like just kind of like take a break from reality?
I read, okay, so I tend to go back and reread a lot of old books lately. I don't know if anybody relates to this, but I have autism and I have ADHD. And when I'm like in a weird headspace, I like will just read the same things or watch the same things on repeat for like comfort. So like lately I've been kind of like going way back and reading like the stuff I read in the 90s, like The Vampire Diaries and Christopher Pike. Like I was obsessed with him in the 80s, like all of the YA books that like really made me want to be a writer. Like I've been rereading those. I reread the Anita Blake series by Laurel K. Hamilton. Like, so I'm just kind of going back and like rereading the stuff that just really made me fall in love with like reading in general. I used to read a lot of male romance, but once I started writing it, I backed off a little bit because, you know, there's always that fear of like crossover, like you might accidentally like, you know, steal somebody's idea or, you know, kind of like ingratiate their writing style without like meaning to. So I kind of steer clear of that. But other than the 90s stuff that I've been reading lately, I tend to stick with like psychological thrillers. I really like old school, like Stephen King horror, Dean Koontz, Nora Roberts. I love anything by Nora Roberts. So those are like really where I tend to stay. Sometimes I'll read YA, but mostly it's you know, the adult thriller mystery type genre.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some comfort with it. Like, it gives you kind of like your, I find comfort by watching Law and Order SVU over and over. Yeah. I watch all episodes of Olivia Benson doing, and I watch all Super Law and Orders, you know, because I watched that like 23 or I don't know how many seasons we already are, but I, you know, there's comfort
I've
to
seen
just
them all,
see.
Yep.
There's comfort to see, like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you want to watch the bad guys get what they deserve. Like,
yes. Yes. I just need the bad guy to get what I want. Or I may root for the bad guy because the author is rooting for him. Like, I just want you to, like, have a good life, too. So, awesome. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Okay. So I was thinking about this because this is what got me started on the kick of going back and rereading, is that we were, my little book club that I have, we were doing books that became television shows and movies. And like a lot of those were like stemmed from like the 90s, early 2000s. So I kind of stuck with those because I just reread them and I just kind of remembered like what I liked about them so much. So I would say if anybody has, especially if you read my book, if you've never read the actual Dexter novel about, like, Darkly Dreaming Dexter was the first time I ever remember reading a book where you're literally rooting for the serial killer. Like, this man is a murderer, but you're like so invested. And they kind of softened him in the show, but in the book, he is a true psychopath. He is a very, very on brand, like, real psychopath, like what they actually look like. And you're still fascinated and you're still interested and you're still like rooting for him because he kills bad people. But like in the stories, in the books, like it's so much more in depth. Like I don't want to give spoilers, but like when it comes to like Rita and Rita's kids and like, you know, like their psychopathy and like him kind of like taking on it like a mentor role, it's so fascinating. And Jeff Lindsay did such an amazing job of just like really getting you into the headspace of him, but still making you like him anyway. So I think everybody should read that book. It's at least the first book, but the series is amazing in its whole. Let's see. What else? Okay. So if you've never read the original Vampire Diaries from 1994, I highly recommend it because it is nothing like the show. It starts off a little bit like the show, but then it just, like, the show itself was, it started off with the old school kind of like Raven smoke machine in the show, but then they realized that that was like very 90s. So they kind of like did away with it and then went in their own direction. But the very first Vampire Diaries was literally the first book that or series that I ever made every single one of my friends read because it was so good. You know, like that feeling when you like love a book so much, you're like, no, you have to read it so I can talk to you about it. Like, and that was the very first series I ever had where I was just like, yes, no, please, you have to read this. I gave it to my niece. I gave it to my best friend. I gave it to my best friend's sister. Like these copies were like falling apart by the time I got them back because we were all just super obsessed with that series. And I think a lot of people maybe even don't even realize that The Vampire Diaries was originally based on books by L.J. Smith. But they were amazing. And she had other series that were so good too. The Secret Circle was about witches, like, which was that was my jam back in like high school. I wanted all the paranormal. So like that series was so, so good. And I feel like everybody should read it because it's just nothing like the show, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm adding that because I feel like the nostalgia of reading a 90s book, like I don't know. I grew up in the 90s. So I there's something to be said about the nostalgia of like, you know, what you didn't know, like things that right now we don't have. Like there's not going to be cell phones. There's not going to be like constant like social media and any of that conversation. And like it can be like a nice little breath relief of like seeing that world from those eyes and that in that setting, you know.
Yeah, it's really cool to kind of go back and like think about like how we were raised, because I was born in the 70s, so like
yeah,
just we didn't come home until the sun was down, and we like didn't have cell phones. Our parents had no idea where we were 90% of the time. Like, we were feral. We raised ourselves. We were drinking from garden hoses. Like, we were feral children. And it's like, now I can't go 5 minutes. I don't want to go to the bathroom without my cell phone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even want to like brush my teeth without my phone where I can see it. But it's so weird to think about the fact that like we had to have quarters in our pockets to like make phone calls.
Find a phone, like an actual public payphone. Yeah. And a house phone. Like, we had a house phone, and we had to compete with other people to use the house phone.
Especially once the internet came around, because then it was like, get off the phone, I want to get online. I gotta check my AOL.
Yeah, I gotta check. I gotta put my away message and my AIM, you know, or ICQ. It was like CQ, I think, for like group chat, like chatting. You're like chatting with people on the internet. You're like, oh, what are we doing? And it was like, oh, stranger danger.
Dude, I met my ex on Prodigy. Remember Prodigy?
Yes.
My daughter's father and I met on Prodigy. That's how old I am.
We were feral. Yeah. Like, we were like,
we were like,
what are you going to know? Like, I saw this TikTok or like tweet how the kids in the Gen Z is starting to dress like the 90s and the aughts and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, you can do all you want, but you know what happened. I did not know. Yeah. Like, my parents did not know what I was doing, you know?
No, like, they don't get it. Like, the 90s was such a, like, I mean, I'm sure everybody who was raised in that, like in their generation, thinks it's like, you know, the best generation. But like, the 90s had the best music. It had the best clothes. Yes. It had the best movies. Like, we were just all living in this like weird utopia, but we were all angry.
Yeah.
We were all like so like into our feelings and like disenfranchised, but we had nothing to complain about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing was happening. There was no war. There was nothing. We were just living our best lives, but we were grumpy.
We were living our best lives. What was like our biggest scandal was like the president had a sex scandal. Like, what are we talking about?
And even that was fairly entertaining.
It was.
Like, there was nothing to be mad about, but we were just mad. Like, but we had also raised ourselves. So maybe it was because we were adults from the time we were like five. Like, I don't know.
You know, now we're like our midlife crisis that we go to therapy and we deal with
it. Every single one of us is in therapy. Like, I meet with my therapist every single week, Like,
I go to two therapists, actually. I have two therapists and a medication management. Like, that tells you how much I'm doing. But it is all good. It's living our best life. So
exactly. At least we're all getting through that generational trauma. We're all like, you know what? We really need to get ourselves together. Yeah. We need to pull it together before we screw up the next generation again.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Anli, tell us where we can find you online.
You can find me. The best way to find me is my link tree is linktr.ee/only James. And you can find everywhere you want to stalk me. You can find my Patreon. You can find my Instagram, Facebook, everything. You can even find my Spotify playlist. I want you to know everything about me.
I love this, Anli. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading.